I am going to invite you to turn to Psalm 93, and then I'm going to explain what God showed me is very much in line. Brother Schaefer, I believe this is a good word to follow up with what you said, because the Lord blessed me in much that same way. I've titled this morning's message, Are You Putting Me On? Are You Putting Me On? Psalm 93, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture. I'm going to ask you if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Psalm 93, I'm not even going to read one verse. I'm going to read two-thirds of a verse. And that's the very first one in that chapter. The Word of the Lord declares in Psalm 93, The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. I'll tell you now, as I read through the Psalms, our select passage of 12 chapters, it's not uncommon to see these in the Psalms, but with the exception of Psalm 91, it seemed like all of them this week were focused on this issue. It was a scripture reading that repeatedly brought us to the point where people are crying out to God, Lord, vanquish my enemies, let truth be known. Cover me, clear my good name, protect me, destroy them, give them what they are due. And when you read that, you know, a lot of times people read that and they say, praise God, that's what I'm going to pray. But as Brother Schaefer brought out, that's not a good Christian prayer. Then that begs the question, why is it in the Bible? Well, understand the book of Psalms was a songbook. And just like songs today, we often sing what's on our heart, what is happening in our circumstances. And there's one more thing we would do well to understand about those songs. The people who were writing them were not in the dispensation or age of grace that we are in. We are in an age of grace. When Jesus died on the cross and went to heaven, in John 14, he told us, I will send you a helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring you to remember all things I have said. He will be your intercessor. He will be your comforter. He will be your peace. He will be your strength. So today, when we go through these things, we have the Holy Spirit of God who can bring peace that passes understanding, who can bring clarity, who can bring understanding, who can stir up the gifts that are within us, who helps us grow spiritual fruit in our lives. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. Only a select few people who were anointed of God had that. But it wasn't given to the entirety of believers. So, when they're being persecuted, the only end to their persecution was for it to stop. Now, we know today that God will not put on us more than we can handle. And he has made a way of escape. But we can handle a whole lot because of the Holy Spirit. I don't have a better analogy to use right now than this. Imagine if you had to go through some sort of surgery and there was no Novocaine invented. You would probably choose to just deal with the pain rather than go through the surgery. And if you went with the surgery, the only way to stop the hurt would be to stop the person who is inflicting that pain. Well, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit numbs us to reality, but he does bring peace and he brings comfort and he enables us to endure so that God can do a spiritual surgery on us and we can stand erect and strong. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that. So the only recourse they had, the only solution, the only way to stop the pain was to remove whatever was causing the pain from the scenario, from the equation. And that's why they're crying out all the time, Oh God, please just destroy my enemies. But we know that's not God's way. And as I read through the scripture and we came to Psalm 93, the solution to much that we face jumped out at me. Because a lot of times today, we pray the same thing. Oh, God, please just get this person out of my life. Lord, would you please shut their mouths? Lord, will you please reveal them? Lord, would you please move them to Canada? You know what I'm talking about, right? Or Siberia. Man, somebody really got on Pastor Frank. Good day. I thought it was bad to pray someone to Canada. He's praying someone to Siberia. So what is our recourse? What is our answer? Psalm 93:1, the Bible says, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. He has girded himself with strength. Majesty is glory and righteousness. Those things don't bother him. Those things don't get God down. And he's got strength. He's got strength to endure, strength to go through. So here God stands amid this psalm, having something that no one else has in their time of trouble. But here's the important thing. Now we have God living in us. Consider Romans 13, verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. God is clothed with majesty. He has girded himself with strength. These things can't defeat him. These things can't depress him. These things can't deter him. But now that we are in the age of grace, the Word of God says, why don't you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? That means you can put on that majesty. You can put on that righteousness. You can put on that strength so that you aren't defeated or depressed or deterred by the power of the enemy. That is a great gift from God that is available to each and every one of us, and a great blessing that we ought to give God praise for right now. Amen. The reality is, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to stand as God does at 93:1 in a different manner than all of those who are around. I want to read to you a passage of Scripture, one verse out of John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have the boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. We aren't like those ones that Brother Schaefer was pointing out, that are saying, oh God, call down lightning on them, destroy them, get rid of them, give them what they deserve. We are like Jesus in this world. Instead, we are walking in peace and in love and in the power and purpose of God. As he is, so are we in this world. Those are just 9 words. All of them are one syllable. 6 of them only have 2 letters. But few statements of discipleship stand greater than that one right there. As he is, so are we in this world. We are to be like him. He is seated in the glory of heaven. He had humbled himself and became flesh, was transformed through a new birth. And so are you. And once Jesus was transformed, he lived a triumphant life. And so can you. He triumphed over sin, over Satan, and over every situation. And so can you. He was about the Father's business. He was put to death in the flesh, but arose victorious. And so can you. The psalmist saw something different about God. And the Holy Spirit enables us to be clothed in the same way. The question is, are we going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to give you a story out of the Bible and offer this as perspective. In Luke chapter 20, Starting around verse 20, if I'm not mistaken, there is a story in which some religious folks come to test Jesus, to trick him, really. They ask him, tell us what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, it's a trick. Because if he says yes, all of his followers will get mad because they don't want Roman oppression in Israel, and he'll lose his following. If he says no, they'll turn him over to the Romans and they'll execute him and it'll be done. Jesus knows it's a trick. His response is, why do you test me, you hypocrites? But then he says something powerful. He says, show me a denarius. Now, Jesus could have asked for any number of coins, but he asks for a denarius, which was about one day's wage. And they hand him the coin, and Jesus looks at it. And to understand the context that Luke records in his gospel, realize that on one side of the coin, these words are written, Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the divine Augustus. And when Jesus would turn the coin over, he would see an embossed face of Pax. Pax was the Roman goddess of peace. And under her image was written the title High Priest. Now, this is what I like to call divine irony. The coin that Jesus holds in his hand, on one side, that coin identifies Tiberius as the Son of God. They considered Augustus to be God, and the coin said Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the divine Augustus. On one side, the coin identified Tiberius as the Son of God, but the coin now rests in the hands of the true Son of God. On the other side of that coin, it identifies the goddess of peace, but that coin is now resting in the hands of the Prince of Peace. The coin identifies her high priest, but it's resting in the hands of the perfected high priest. And just like every other false Christ, every other false God, every other false prophet, Jesus is soon to throw this coin aside. But before he does, pay heed to Christ's question and commentary. A very profound question he asked. Whose image and inscription is on this coin? And the Herodians answer him, Caesar's. And as he throws the coin to them, he says, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now when he says, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, it establishes the fact that we are to pay taxes and support our government. I'll submit this to you. It establishes the first separation of church and state. Let that one sink in for a moment. But we often fail to give due credit to the second half of Jesus' statement. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Give unto God the things that are God's. As Jesus looked at the coin, he said, whose face is on this coin? Caesar's. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. If a denarius belongs to Caesar, because it is made in his image, then to whom do you belong? Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Give unto God what is God's. Much like that coin, God holds us in his hand. And there is coming a day when God will make a decision. Will he keep you or will he toss you aside? How will he make that determination? How will he decide whether you belong with the world or with him? By the image he sees when he holds you in his hand. Whose image will he see? Will he see the image of the world, or will he see the image of his Son, the true Son of God, the true High Priest, The Prince of Peace, will he see that image looking back at him? You see, we're all created in God's image, but Tiberius Caesar was created in God's image too. But when Jesus looked at that coin, he saw anything but the image of God. In whose image do we stand? We are created in the image of God, but we are born into sin. And that image quickly conforms us to that of Tiberius Caesar. Romans chapter 1, Paul puts it this way. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than creator. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, those who practice such things, and they are deserving of death. One day God will hold each one of us in his hand the same way Jesus held that coin. And when he looks down, the question is this: does he see an image of the world? Have we conformed to this world? Or will he see the image of his Son? Have we transformed to the image of his Son? Have we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? There in the Psalms, there are many who are transformed and conformed to the world. They want vengeance. They want what they want. They are hard-hearted. They are focused on people rather than God. But there stands God, not deterred, not depressed, not distraught, clothed with majesty, girded with strength. And here's the question that God's going to have: whose image are you in? Well, then the question must be, how do we transform from the image of this world to the image of God? I'm going to give you three scriptures. The first one is going to be Romans 13, verses 10 through 14. I encourage you to do this. If you have a pen and paper, write down these scriptures. I'm going to read them to you. But I'm going to encourage you over the coming week to study these things out. For two reasons. Number one, when you get battled on all sides, am I the only one that's ever been hit and hurt spiritually, physically, emotionally in a battle in your life? Or do I have some others in here that have had to struggle with some things? I've got some others, okay? Number one, if you want to be able to get through that, if you want to be able to not only come through it, but be more than a conqueror, be victorious when you come out, have God strengthen you through it, protect you as you go through, but build you up with every step. Like the three young boys that end up going into the fiery furnace. The Bible says that when they were thrown into the fire, Jesus was there waiting for them. And when they came out, they didn't smell like smoke, and the things that had them bound, the ropes that had tied them up, were burnt away. When they came out, they weren't bound up anymore. They had a stronger faith. They had a stronger praise. They had a stronger testimony. They weren't bound up. They were believing God for greater things. They were worshiping him as they stepped out. And they had encounters with the living God. If that's your heart, you want to consider these three scriptures. Pray over them over the coming week, because God is clothed with majesty. He's girded with strength. And we're going to talk about how to get that. Secondarily, you want to know these three scriptures and apply them to your life, because one day God is going to hold you in His hand. And I'm going to tell you right now how to be Christ-like. I'm going to tell you what God is looking for. If you want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, let it begin in Romans chapter 13, verses 10 through 14. The Word of God declares this: love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time that is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can withstand. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can endure. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ that you may be victorious. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ that God see His Son when He holds you in His hand. A second scripture to pray over, to meditate on this week. Don't let it stop on Sunday. Go home and read this and say, God, where am I at? Which ones do I need to work on? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. This is the purpose of our discipleship hour: to know the depths of God, and today how to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17, the Apostle Paul says this: This I say therefore and testify of the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Put on the new man, which was created according to God. Put on His majesty and His strength. Continuing, in true righteousness and holiness, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. As He is, so are we in this world. Why He stood apart in Psalm 93 was because He was clothed in the majesty, holiness, righteousness, and strength of God. And that is the call of the disciple today. One more scripture I want to give you. Colossians chapter 3, the first 15 verses. You see, so many times, as you write that down, let me say real quickly, so many times we think that acknowledging Jesus as Lord means we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the case. It doesn't say once you've acknowledged Jesus as Lord, you'll put off the old man and the new man will come in and you won't lie and you won't lust and you won't have greed, you won't have bitterness, you won't have anger. Is that the case? Did anybody get saved and see all that stuff go away? Did you see a day when you were automatically peaceful and loving and kind and generous and benevolent? It's a choice, isn't it? The Lord says, put on Jesus Christ. Just like you've got to choose today what you wanted to wear. The Lord said, put on Jesus Christ. Not only for victory, but because one day God is going to hold you in His hand of judgment. And He's going to ask, whose image do I see? Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. If you were then raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And he lists them. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. I'm going to wrap this thing up here. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are times I love to come into the house of God and we shout and we praise God and we have church, as we like to say. But I'm going to tell you right now, those three passages of Scripture, if you can apply those in your lives, your world will not only change, God will change the world through you. When He holds you in His hand, He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because He will see the likeness of His Son. When we want to talk about discipleship, that's it. As He is, so are we in this world. Many times. Now listen, I'm the spiritual warfare guy. I understand demonic activity. I understand the effective fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. I understand that we are anointed to cast out demons, to heal the sick. I understand all of those things. But in that understanding and in my experience, I will also tell you this. Many times when people come and they say, this thing is on me and this thing's attacking me, sometimes it's because you're advancing the kingdom. Sometimes it's because you don't have the kingdom in you. And you are a free target. in the Psalms, they were struggling because they didn't have the kingdom of God in them. It had not been given to them. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. But God did. And nothing could touch him. The greater measure of God we have, the greater victory we have in our lives. Does it mean we'll go without any attacks? No, the attacks still may come. But when they come, we'll have peace. We'll have victory. We'll have the understanding of Joseph, who in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, said what the enemy meant for evil, God meant it for good all along. I may not have understood it when I went through it, but I knew God had me. And he never cursed God. He never turned back on his faith. He never questioned God. He just said, Lord, here am I. You're going to get me through this. We have the Holy Spirit of God now to make us victorious, to bless others, to be transformed into his image. I'm going to leave you with one passage of scripture, and then we're going to pray. Psalm 17, verse 15. Please highlight it in your Bible. If you don't like to write in your Bible, write it down. Put it on your mirror so that when you wake up in the morning, that's a great place for it. Matter of fact, I'm going to do that. I'm going to post it on my mirror. Thank you for that, Lord. Psalm 17, verse 15 says this, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. Your is capitalized. He's talking about the Lord. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Every morning that I wake up, I want to see that scripture. I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. When I look in that mirror and I don't see Lance anymore. I just see my Lord who has transformed me. I see Christ's likeness. I have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've put off the old things. And I'm walking in the love, the righteousness, the strength, the peace, and the purpose and power of God. That's discipleship, friends. That's Christianity right there. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for the word that you have planted in the hearts of these wonderful men and women of God. Lord, you have challenged us today. You have given us a promise that we need not have the struggles that we see in the book of Psalms, where people say, Lord, I can't stand, just remove the problems. We understand that with Christ we have victory. And that what the enemy means for evil, you'll turn it to good. That we are more than conquerors. That we are overcomers. But we are only that if we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You are clothed in majesty and girded in strength. And that's what we need to be, God. Not only to endure our problems, but to be sealed for an eternity. Lord, it is our desire that when you hold us in your hand, it is your son. Wonderful image that is seen. Father, you have given us three scriptures to guide us in this way. Three scriptures that as we apply them in our lives, we are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have given us a goal to not be satisfied with a little improvement, not be satisfied just because we're doing some things better, not be satisfied just because a little transformation happened, to be satisfied only when we awaken in your likeness. Lord, it seems like such a tall order, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You would not have made the invitation if you were not willing to clothe us in your glory. So Lord, I pray, and Lord, I'm going to open up this altar in just a moment. Church, for anyone who wants to just spend some time with God. Maybe God's already speaking some things to you. He's saying, hey, here's some things I want you to take off. And here's some things I want you to put on. I don't know about you, but even as I read that scripture, God was pointing some things out to me. You say, wow, to you, Pastor? Yes, I'm flesh. Don't ever put any man or woman on any kind of pedestal that you think that they don't have issues. We all do. But I'll tell you this, don't expect to see those issues very long. Because I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Father, as we do that, Lord, we recognize that it doesn't stop here. I pray that you would help us to focus and meditate on these three passages throughout the week. To really spend time alone with you. Not to just give it a cursory glance, but to really let you dissect this in our lives. Father, I know that if I take my computer to Best Buy because I want to make sure it's optimal and running, I don't want them to plug it in, turn it on, and say, well, it looks good to me. Or maybe you might want to run this program and everything will be fine. I want them to take that thing apart. If I take my car to the dealership because there's a funny noise or it's not operating like it should, I want them to put it on that computer and run a diagnostic of everything that's happening in that engine so that if there's anything that's not correct, it can be fixed. Lord, I want to do that this week with you. I want a spiritual diagnostic. And I know that that's not just a quick plug and play. But Lord, I believe there's some others that want to commit to that today too. So Lord, we begin that today for your glory. Lord, transform us into your image. Father, for this we give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to open this altar. If you just want to come and spend time with God, something you need to take off and leave it at the altar. Something you need to pick up and put on.